Okay, everybody, so today's daf is daf Kuf Yud Gimel. We're up to the top of the Yamud. However, we're in the middle of a sugya, so we'll do a brief recall of what we learned. Going back to Kuf Yud Beis Amud Beis, starting on the third line, the Gemara tells us that there are two braises, one focusing on Sibas Habal and one focusing on Sibas Haben. Remember, Siba means that when a husband marries a wife and they're from two different Shvatim, then you have the potential of Nechosim from the wife's Mishpacha transferring to the husband's Mishpacha. And if there are two separate Matois, two separate Shvatim, then you could violate the Isser of Leisisoiv Nachla Livnei Yisrael Mimata El Mata. And that's why the Torah says, but Bnei Slavchad, since you are going to be receiving the Yerusha from your father, from Slavchad, because Slavchad unfortunately left no sons, only daughters, all of you, Bnei Slavchad, all them tzidkanios and wonderful young ladies, make sure that you marry into your Shevet and not into another Shevet. Why? Because if you're going to marry someone from a different Shevet, we have the potential problem of the husband's Shevet going and yarshening from the Bnei Slavchad, and therefore Nachlois are going to be transferred from Mata El Mata. We're on Kuf Yud Beis Amud Beis, Rabbi Yisai. We are three lines from the top of the Amud. So, one, the Pasuk of Leisis of Nachla of Bnei Yisrael, Mata El Mata, is telling us, make sure not to allow for the Nachla of Shimon, for instance, to transfer to the Nachla or to the property of Reuven. But the two psukim, if you have the Torah or HaSholem, are spelled out here on the left-hand side. First pasuk is, it's in Bamidbar, Lamed Vav, pasuk Zayin, V'loi Sisev Nachla V'nei Yisrael Mimat El Mata, don't allow a Nachla to get transferred from one Shevet to the other. And then the next pasuk says, V'loi Sisev, the next pasuk is only two psukim later in the Torah. Again, Bamidbar, Lamed Vav, now it's pasuk Tes, and the pasuk is almost identical. V'loisisev nachla mimata lamati acher. Don't allow a nachla to go from one mata to another mata. So the two psukim would seem to be redundant. And therefore, says our Gemara, one pasuk is talking about tzibas habal, meaning as a result of the marriage, the nechosim are transferring from one nachla to the other. It's not the marriage itself that causes it, but because there's a din of Yerushas Habal, remember we had in the Gemara yesterday that a Baal is Yerushas Ishtoi. How do I know Baal Yerushas Ishtoi? We had the three pshatim of Abaya, Rava, and the Tanna of Rabbi Shmuel. Abaya and Rava, of course, are Amayroim, but they were explaining the drasha of the Yorash Oysa, that the Baal yarshens from his wife. So if Chas B'Sholem, the wife passes away, like one of the Bnei Slavchad, if one of them would predecease their respective husbands, and if the husband were from a different Shevet, then the Bnei Slavchad Nechasim would transfer from that Shevet to the other Shevet. Leisisav Nachla. That's one problem. Sibas Habal. Then you have Sibas Haben. What's a Sibas Haben? That if, in Chas V'Sholem, if the husband predeceased the wife, so therefore the husband never received the Nachla from the wife. But if the wife subsequently dies and leaves over a son or a daughter, that son or daughter, by definition, are now their legacy or their yichus is to that of their father, by definition, right? Mishpachas Beisav. So what happens now? So when the mother passes away, there's no husband to Yarshin, but their children to Yarshin. The children being of Reuven and the mother being from Shimon. And once again, the Nachlis will transfer from the Shimon side to the Reuven side. So therefore, that's the Sibas Haben. So therefore, the Gemara is telling us we're going to have two Brises, and the two Brises are going to say that these Psukim are not redundant. One Pasuk is talking about Sibas Haben, and one's talking about Sibas Habal. And as we'll see, although the Brise reverses the Psukim in their discussion, The bottom line is both prices hold exactly the same thing. What is that? So let's see the two prices. We really went through them quickly yesterday, but we'll go over it again. Third line from the top, Tanya Besivas Haben, but Tanya Besivas Haba, Tanya Besivas Haben. And now we're quoting from Pasuk number one. Pasuk number one is the Pasuk in Pasuk Zion. What is this talking about? Besivas Haben, Akosim Medaber. That if the ben yarshins from his mother, the ben is part of the yichus of his father, the mother is the yichus of her mata, so be careful, don't allow for a sis of nachla, that the nachla should go and be transferred from the mother's shevet to the son who is the other shevet. So besivas haben akosim medaber. Zutemor atayim besivas haben eli besivas habal. Who says? Maybe the pasuk is telling you that as a result of the marriage, the husband is going to go and be zoicha the Yerusha from his wife. And therefore, we're not talking about the ben, we're talking about the husband. So it says in the pasuk, Sisav Nachla Mimata Namate Acher, Harbi Sibas Habal Omer. That pasuk is talking about Sibas Habal. How do I know that that pasuk is talking about Sibas Habal? At the moment, I don't know. But the Gemara is going to tell us shortly on the Amud Aleph why this pasuk is more of a Sibas Habal than the first pasuk. But since that pasuk is a Sibas Habal pasuk, what do I do with the first pasuk? Sibas Haben Akosim Medaber. So bottom line, on both sides, two psukim, pasuk Zayin and pasuk Tes. Pasuk Zayin is talking about Sibas Haben, and Pasuk Tes is talking about Sibas Haba. Now let's look at the next braisa. Tanya Idach. This braisa starts off the other way around, meaning it starts off the second Pasuk, that's Pasuk Tes. And it says, V'lisisim nachla b'net mimata l'mata, acher. Zokhtimor b'sibas haba l'kosim medaber. That's Zumat Sibas Haba. I don't know why that's Zumat Sibas Haba, but it's Zumat Sibas Haba. Maybe it's from Matzibas Haben. Kishuoyme, since the first pasuk says, "V'loy sisav nachla v'nei yisrael mimata el mata." Again, this is the first pasuk Zayin, and that's from Matzibas Haben. Amor, Amani Mekayim. What do I do with the second pasuk, the one that I quoted on the top? V'loy sisav nachla mata el mata. Acher, Matzibas Haben akosim medaber. So Rabbi Yisai, just taking a quick look at both of these prices, we see that the conclusion is the same in both of them. Meaning, I call them Pasuk, the first Pasuk and the second Pasuk. That's the Pasuk Zion and the Pasuk Tes. Pasuk Zion, the Gemara said, that's talking about Sibas Haben. The second Pasuk Tes, is talking about Sibas Habal. That's what the Gemara said here on the Amud Beis. Here, the Gemara on the Amud Aleph says, the Pasuk number two, the one in Pasuk Tes, is talking about Sibas Habal. And the first Pasuk Zayin, that's talking about Besibas Haben. So bottom line, it comes out exactly the same. And now the Gemara asks the Kuli Alma Mias, Mimata Lamati Acha, Besibas Habal, Akosam Adabar. Everybody agreed that the second Pasuk, that's the Pasuk Tes, which talks about Mimata Lamati Acha, that's talking about Sibas Habal. Frank, to my mashma, why is that more mashma Sibas Habal than Sibas Haben? L'choira, you know, it's 50-50. Ini, mini, mini, mo. First, the both psukim are kamat the same. L'yisisav nachal mimata l'mata acher. And the other pasuk says, L'yisisav nachal mnei Yisrael mimata l'mata. So, it's the same thing. So how do you know that this is more of a Baal and that's more of a Ben? Zokti Yimura, Simen Omer Rabbar of Shiva. That's a very, very rare Simen Omer Rabbar of Shiva. You see on the side in Aleph, Maser Seshas, Yeshloimar Shehu Shem Amoira. There was an Amoira by the name of Simen. Very, very strange, if you will. Other Mefarshim say, no, that in fact it's the Torah said Fus, and that apparently initially it said Simen and listed off presumably the various Amoiraim that we're going to quote in the Gemara, like you find frequently in the Gemara, such a mnemonic to go and remind us of the various memories. So we go and bring either names of the Amoraim that said the memories, or just code terms about each memra, and therefore it said originally Simon, blah blah blah, whatever the name was, like Rabba Bar Avshila, and then after that Ravashi, and then Rabavom Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Yanai. In other words, that may have been the Simon, but for some reason there was a Toys, and those names got dropped, and therefore the word Simon also should have gotten dropped. And if that's the case, we start Omer Rabba Rav Shila. Regardless of Rabbi Yisai, what does the Gemara say? Simon Omer Rabba Rav Shila, Omer Kra, Ish. Oh, I know why the Pasuk Amimata Lamati Acher is talking about the husband, Mesiva Sabal, because that Pasuk has the magic word Ish. Again, if you have the Torah or a Shalem, in this case it's the Aleph here on the page. Back in Kufya Bezim and Bez, it was the Bez. And because we have a switching of the two psukim, this is the Pasuk test, the second Pasuk. So it says in the Pasuk, see some Nachla. Imat al-mata acher ki ish. Benachla osa yibiku matis b'nei Yisrael. Why did it say ish benachla osa? So to Rishbam, because the word ish often means Baal. Where do I find that ish means Baal? So Rishbam quotes a Pasuk in Rus, where it refers to Ish Naomi. Ish Naomi means the husband of Naomi. See here too, when it says in the Pasuk Ish, it's talking about a husband. Besibas Habal Hakosim Medaber. This answer is very troubling. Why is it troubling? Frey Tamar Travayu Ish Kesiv Behu. Look in the next Pasuk. Pasuk Zayin. Again, Ois Beis here on the Torah Or HaSholim. V'leisisav Nachal Avnei Yisrael Mimata El Mata. Ki ish benachlis mati avoitzer. There it also says the word ish. So both of them should be besiba sabal. What are you talking about? El amar Rav Nachma Yitzchak amakra. Don't learn from ish, but learn from yidbiko. Again, the first pasuk here, that's pasuk tes. It says, "Vali sisam nachli mimati lamati acher ki ish benachlis yidbiko." So what does that mean? So says Rishbam. Remember, it says about when a husband marries a wife, it says v'dovak b'ishtoi. So therefore the word dovak, that attaching oneself to the wife, that is called in the pasuk v'dovak. Ah, here it says yidbaku. So that's why it's talking about besiba sabal. And again the Gemara says, trevayu yidbaku ksibu. Both of them it says yidbaku. Because again, if you look at Torah or HaSholim, ois beis, why? Ki ish benachlas mati avoyse yid beku b'nei Yisrael. Don't say to choch yid beku. Now before we continue on, the Gemara is a pella. Are you telling me that when the Gemara gave a teretz, it says ish, or it says yid beku? Didn't that Amoira know that the other pasuk also said ish, and it said yid beku? Certainly that would be sensible. And therefore the Rishbam asks this kasha, and the Tosis asks this kasha. The Rishbam says, of course, each one of these Mandi Amram knew that the other Pasuk said Ish, or it said Yidbiku. But rather, because the Gemara is shortly going to tell us, how taka did we know that we're talking about Besibas Habal? So it was given as it's a given that this Pasuk of Mimata El Mata Acher, not El Mata, Mimata El Mata Acher is talking about the Baal, because it says Ish. The other Pasuk also says Ish, says Rishbam, the Amoira knew that it says Ish, however, he felt that it must be a Drasha Achrina. He must have had some other Drasha that he learns from the other Ish. But the principal and primary Ish that we're dealing with is the Mata El Mata Acher. That's a given, we're talking about Sibas Abal. How do I know it says the word Ish? It says Ish in the other Pasuk. There must be some other drasha that Tana or Moira had. And so don't be concerned about it. There is another drasha, even though Chazal don't share that drasha with us. And similarly, when the Gemara said, okay, forget about Ish. It's the Yidbiku. Of course that Amoira knew that the next Pasuk also said the word Yidbiku. But he felt that the Ikka Yidbiku is coming to tell us the Dveikus of husband and wife, B'dovak B'ishtoi, and the other Yidbaku is for some other Drasha, which Gemara doesn't mention. That's how the Rishbam seeks to address this issue. Because otherwise, says Rishban, to go and say that you knew the first pasuk and not know the second pasuk, and then the Makshan who says, but the other pasuk also says ish, or others also says yibiku. Do you need a Tana or an Amoira to tell us that? Zil kori be ravu. Anybody that learns in cheder, anybody that learns anything about psukim, knows that it says here ish and it says the other way ish. And if you're going to tell me that this person only knew the first part of Bamidbar, no, it's one thing to go and say person is baki and voracious, he's not so familiar with Shemois. Or he knows all about Shemois, but when it comes to Vayikra, they're all Kabbonis and Avoida, he doesn't know that. This is the same parsha. It's only two psukim away. How could a person know about the Ishin Yidbaku and not about the other Ishin Yidbaku? So that's how Rishbam addresses it. But Toisis on the top says something which is mind-blowing. Look at the top, Toisis. Shavayu nami Yidbaku ksibahu. Pa'omim shloi hoyu bikim b'psukim. Sometimes Amayroim did not know the psukim bal peh. After all, the Torah Shebachsav, you're not allowed to go and repeat it bal peh. And it's not like today that everybody has at home 12 different chumashim, separate chumashim on Breishis and Shmois, and Mikrais Gedolois, and an English one, and a Schottenstein, and a whatever, the linear chumashim, that you have the Rashi in English, and those that only have the Chumash in English, the stone chumashim, and so on and so forth. In those days, you know, if you had a Sefer Torah, Baruch Hashem, you was Oicha. If not, you had to rely on the Sefer Torah in Shul. And you couldn't learn up, you couldn't go and try to find psukim by Googling them on the internet. So if you had a chumash, you had one. If you didn't, you didn't. Nobody had printed chumash like we have today, obviously. So it's saying that, believe it or not, the Amoraim may not have been familiar with the psukim. And then Tosis quotes from a Gemara that we had in Bava Kamma not too long ago, where it says that the Gemara is discussing over there the differences between the Dibrois HaRishonois and the Dibrois HaAchronois. And the Gemara says over there, the Tosis quotes, "Mnei Malei Nemar b'Dibrois HaRishonois Toiv." How come we don't find the word Toiv in the first Dibrois, but we find them in the second Dibrois? It says by in Kibud Av Ve'Ein, in the first Dibrois, it doesn't say Leman Yitav Loch, just Leman Yarich and Yomim. But in the second one, it says Leman Yitav Loch, so it says the word Toiv. So one Amoira asked the other, why doesn't it say Toiv? Omalei Acha Tushalani. You're asking me why it does or doesn't say Toiv. She'eni Yedea Im Nema Ben Toiv Olav. I don't even know whether it does say or doesn't say. I'm not so familiar with the psukim. I'm not a Bible expert that knows all the psukim by heart. Ichveisish. So don't ask me as your initial kasha, how come here it says Toiv and there it doesn't say Toiv? You should ask me, does it say Toiv at all? That would be a good question about the Toiv. Even before asking about the differences, ask me or tell me whether it does say Toiv or not. Klach Eitzer Tanchem, because he knows the psukim. Anyway, so bottom line is, we have a Machlokes Rishbam and Tosis, why the first man, the Yomer, didn't know about the Ish and the Yidbaku. Rishbam says, of course he knew. He just felt that that's the Iker Pasuk about Sibas Habal, as we'll see in a moment why. And by default, the other one is Sibas Haben, it says Ish and Yidbaku. There must be some other drasha, even though the Gemara doesn't tell us what that drasha is. And Tosis simply says, no, the other man, the Yomer, Pushit did not know the Lashon of the Pasuk. But Tosis himself makes a partial concession to the Rishbam. If you go down halfway in the Tosis says, "Bekuntris pirish yofa." Now the Rishbam learned Pshat Nigmara very nicely. He of course knew that both psukim say ish. He wanted to know why the first pasuk, he's insisting it's talking about Sibas Habal. When I say the first pasuk, you know, the first pasuk darshaned in this brisa, it's really the second pasuk test. He knew that it's talking about Sibas Habal. Minikasib Bahu Ish. El the Mukitana Ish de Krakama, the Drash Achrina. He learned it for something else. Like the Rishbam said, we don't know what he learned it for, but he learned it for something else. So now the question is, but Rabbi Isai, tell me the secret. Why does the Tana really believe that that second pasuk of Vleisisev Nachlemi Mati Lamati Acher, how do I know what Tzivos is about? We said from Ish is Mishkaraya, Yidbeku is Mishkaraya, so what's the Raya? So the Gemara is going to say Elam Rava. The Raya is Amakra Yidbeku Matois. Look at the two psukim. The first pasuk, which is a pasuk test, says Ki Ish Benachlasi Yidbeku Matois Bnei Yisrael. The pasuk Bey says Ki Ish Benachlas Mati Avoisev Yidbeku Bnei Yisrael. It doesn't say Yidbeku Matois. So what difference does that make? Says Rishbam, since the word Yidbeku, which comes from the Lashon of Alkei Yazav Ishes Ovav Yes Imoy V'Dovak B'Ishtoi, Dovak is a very nice term referring to marriage, and it says Yidbeku Matois. It means that the marriage caused that the Matois become, if you will, united, where Shimon property is being transferred to Ruvein. Oh, that's Yidbeku Matois. That's talking about Hasebes Abba. The other pasuk just says Yidbeku Bnei Yisrael. It doesn't say Yidbeku Matois. So that's why it's clearer, says this man, the Yama, that we're talking about Hasebes Abba. And the Gemara gives yet another teret, perhaps, if you will, a better teret. Rav Ashi Omar, Omakra, Mimate Lamate Acher, Uben Lav Acher Hu. On the surface, of course, when it says in the pasuk Mimate Lamate Acher, it means from Reuven's Shevet to Shimon's Shevet, right? We're talking about from one Mata to the other Mata. However, the Gemara is now saying, we're not talking about from Reuven to Shimon or Shimon to Reuven, but rather we're talking about the Mata of an Acher, a Mata that belongs to someone else. What do you mean that the Mata belongs to someone else? That Reuven is from one Mata, and his wife is from a second Mata. She is from the Mata of Acherim, of the Shimonites. She's not a Reubenite, she's a Shimonite, from different Mata Acher. That makes sense when you talk about a husband and wife. However, if you're talking about that the Mami, Lemoshel, is from Shevet Reuven, and now her son or daughter are from the Shevet Shimon, because the husband is a Shimonite, to go and say that the Mami and the son are one Mata to the Mata of a stranger, of someone else. How can you call a son an Acher vis-a-vis a Mami? That's her own flesh and blood. She's the one that gave birth to him from her womb. You can't go and say an Acher, a fremde, a stranger. See, if you're telling me Achus and Kala, when they get married, they are typically strangers. Okay, you know, they've met a few times, they dated, Baruch Hashem, they got engaged and they got married. But after everything is said and done, they come from different families, from different shvatim. So she married someone and he married someone from acherim, from others, from strangers. Ah, that's why it's more mistaber that pasuk is talking about Sibas Abal and not Sibas Haben. So
what's the mata?
The mata is, we need achtus, unity, Ahava Ach v'Sholem v'Reyes among the different Shvatim of Klal Yisrael. Thank you, Shelley, for that very, very insightful comment. Anyway, so bottom line is, Rabbi Yisai, why do we have two Psukim? Pasuk Beis, meaning the Pasuk of Pasuk Tes, that's talking about Tzibas Habal. Why is it talking about Tzibas Habal? Because Yidbeku Matois. Since we don't want the two Psukim to be redundant, the first Pasuk is talking about Sibas Haben, and the other pasuk is talking about Sibas Habal. And with this, we've concluded the shtickel, and I see that Barry had his hand up before, and I see that Brother Shai had his hand up now. Any questions, or everything has been addressed and resolved?
No, I'm astounded, because first of all, the first pasuk of Pasuk Zion, it mentions the word Avosav.
Mm-hmm.
But more importantly, the pasuk in between continues the whole As Yereshes Nachala. So obviously, if you have to choose one pasuk talking about a ben, one talking about a baal, pasuk ches, the pasuk in between these two, responds to the first pasuk talking about a ben, the whole bas. Why doesn't the Gemara pick up on that obvious shot? It does. It astounds me.
So I'm glad that you brought that up, because the Rishbam says that the focus of the Gemara, which we just learned, is really on the second time. Second Tana means this Tana here on the top of Kuf Yud Gimel, Because after all, why does he begin with Ploisisum Nachim Matel Mate Acher Mesibus Abal? Why doesn't he start in order like the first price? Start with Pasik Zion, analyze it, say, okay, I have one Pasik, why do I have the redundancy in Pasik Tess? Instead of saying, well, I got Pasik Tess, why do I have the redundancy in Pasik Zion? That's not the normal way. I mean, even though Brother Shai will say, Ein Muktam Ucha Batoyah, but a Braisa normally wouldn't focus on Pasik 2 before we deal with Pasik 1. And therefore, the Rishbam says that the first Tana on Kuf Yud Beis Omid Beis, he started off with the first Pasik, he assumed that that's talking about Ben. Why is that? Because if we're talking about Nachlois, wouldn't it make more sense to talk about the first Nachlois in terms of chronology, in terms of the order? The normal order of events are, Chas Hashem, a person passes away, and either the Ben or the Bas take over. And therefore, what the Torah is saying is, be careful. When you have a mixed Shevet situation, Reuven and Shimon, you may have subsequently a Siba Saben, where it's going to transfer from one Shevet to the next Shevet, because of a son or daughter that have the yichus of the father, not the yichus of the mother, and therefore it's going to transfer from one to the other. So it's logical that the first Pasuk is talking about Siba Saben, because that's the way, and as you just pointed out, because we're talking about the order of the Yarshim, of the Yerusha, and Yerusha typically would be a son first. If there's no son, then the daughter. And if there's no son and no daughter, then we start talking about Av and Baal and this one and that one. So therefore, it's much, the Gemara's Kasha was really not focused on the first Braisa, because the first Braisa took it for granted that the first Pasuk is talking about Sibis Aven. That's the flesh and blood of the mommy that is getting married. Be careful, a son that will be born will transfer. Oh, so now, by default, the second Pasuk, which is already a little bit more remote, that's the stranger, the husband that came into the marriage, oh, he would be number two. However, says Rishbam, the Gemara here on top, when we're talking about Pasuk number two, first, why would the Brises talk about number two? Because I know that Pasuk is talking about Tzimis Abal, it's not by default. Since the first Pasuk is Ben, then the second one is Baal. No. I'm dashing Baal first. Why am I dashing Baal first? Because it's crystal clear to me it's talking about Baal. Because it says, Yidbeku Matois, or because it says, the Mate Acher, of a stranger, of a fremde, of a third party. Oh, so therefore, that by definition is Sibas Baal. So then by default, the first Pasuk is talking about the Sibas Haben. So this is very much in line with what you're saying, Barry, that the focus was on the second Braisa, and not on the first Braisa. If you... it's a long Rishbam over here. I want to hold the Olam up.
I guess what really surprised me was the missing Pasuk in the middle. Is that there's a whole Pasuk, your precious Nachum.
Mm-hmm.
It's the response to the subtext of the Pasuk Zion. He's talking about the Ben, because the what's it has to say explicitly, the whole Pasuk. The Torah is listing it, so it seems programmatic. I'm stunned, and no one's addressing Pasuk Ches in the middle.
Yeah, no,
it clears it all up.
I hear you loud and clear. You could say, of course, B'chobasi Rishas Nachla, and therefore she should be careful not to marry out of the Mata. And now the next Pasuk says, oh, that Sibas Abal, because to follow up on Pasuk Ches. That's basically what you're saying. Very nice. So that's really an additional Svara. Rishbam doesn't quote it, but it makes a lot of sense what you're saying. If you want to see, if you take a quick look at the top Rishbam, You can skip all of the black font, the heavy font. Umashmoz dorshenik benayu tanda brisa kamaisa pshitolei dekra basra. The second pasuk, that's a pasuk test. Tanya mimatel mati acher sibuz abal ma'ir. You can mafarish the kamei mixiv bei acher, like the terrace we just had in the gemara. Vehilkach mukil lekam oh b'sibuz aben to trei kroy b'sibuz abal lomali. In other words, he took it for granted that the Mate Acher is talking about Baal. By default, the first one is talking about Siba Sabet. Now you can skip a couple of lines and now go to skip 3-4 lines after Psachim Chav Dalid. Now go and say Mukhmi Swar the Krah Kama Basiba Sadan. No, I went too far. The Tana Basra. You know what? I shouldn't skip at all. Just stay where we were in the Rishbam before. He says, Hilkach Mukhmi the Kama Basiba Sadan. Since he says that the second part we're talking about Siba Sabal, by the fact that it says Mati Acher, therefore he says that the first Pasuk Zayin B'Siva Zaben, the trade Kroy B'Siva Zabal Lomli. Why would the trade be redundant and give us two Psukim B'Siva Zabal? U'Smir Lel Ha'itana Kemarin B'Alma, T'chol Heicha D'Ika L'Medrish Darshina, V'Len Makmina B'Lavi Yaseri. If there's any way of dashing the Pasuk to give it particular relevance, so we shouldn't go and call it a duplicate Pasuk, that's what we do. The Tana Basra, now that's the second Tana here on the Amud Aleph, Leisvira lehach drasha di acher to the kamon, humuki misvora lekro kama besiba samben. I said the Tana Basra, I mean really the first Tana on Kuf Yud Beis Amud Beis. He is saying, I'm not going to learn it because of Siba Sabal, because it says acher. No. The pshat is that the first pasuk is talking about Siba Samben. The korev leitvei mibal. He's obviously much closer to his mommy than the husband is in terms of flesh and blood. The first pasuk logically in pasuk Zion is talking about Ben, because he is flesh and blood of the mami, and therefore the Torah says, "Be careful! You're going to go and have two matas getting together. It's going to switch from one to the other. Which how is it going to switch? Pasibas Ben, because that's closer in kurva to mami. The second pasuk by default will be talking about Baal. Kachnir be'ena v'ikir. Anyway." The conclusion of the Gemara is, the first pasuk is talking about Siva Saban, second pasuk is talking about Siva Sabal, and now we continue on to a new shtikla. This new shtikla has no direct relevance to the previous Gemara, so you can put two dots over here. Omer Bavo, Omer Rabbi Yochanan, Omer Rabbi Yanai, Omer Rabbi. Umatba Mishmei, Rabbi Shu ben Karcha. Minayin Labal, Sheina Noitel Beroi, Kiba Muchsik. This is familiar to us from Hilchas Bechor. It says in the pasuk b'chol hashi'im motzei loy that the b'chor only gets pishnayim whatever is there at the time of the misa, not something that comes in subsequently. Our Gemara is using the same terms, although it's talking about a slightly different case, and that is we keep on saying that the baal yoyresh es ishtoy. It says in the pasuk mishayrei hakorav eila v'yarash oisa, the husband yarshens his wife. Okay. What happens if the husband's shver, father-in-law, which is the father of the wife, predeceases his wife, his daughter? So the daughter will yarshin from the father, and now the husband will yarshin from the wife. That's asabas nachla. What happens if it's the other way around? Husband and wife get together, get married, and that wife has a father, and unfortunately, the daughter predeceased her father. What a tragedy. A father never has to sit shiva after a daughter. Rachman al-Islam. What happens now? The husband gets Yerusha from his wife, but his wife doesn't really own anything in particular, so he gets that Yerusha miyora shaysa. Subsequent to the daughter passing away, the father of the daughter passes away. In other words, the shver, or the former shver, of the husband, of the Aydin. Why is it the former Shver? Because unfortunately his daughter passed away. So what happens now? Does that remaining, surviving husband, Yarshin, now his Shver? And the answer is no. Because that's what the Torah says, that he has Yerushas Ha'isha, that a husband Yarshin's a wife, is only if she had Nechosim from her father, because the father died first. And she owned the nechassim. Then the husband yarshins from his wife. However, if the wife died first, and she never was zoicha to the Yerusha from her father, then the husband does not get the Yerusha. That's what the Gemara calls roi. Minayin lebal shein anoita broikim amufsik. She never says in the pasuk. Now we're going to quote the two psukim that we quoted already yesterday, but the Gemara is going to interpret them differently than we interpreted them yesterday. She never says in the pasuk, "Skuv." Hoyleris Yair, Skuv gave birth to Yair, for he loy, and Yair had Esav v'shalish Olam v'Eretz Gilad. He was fabulously wealthy. He had 23 cities. The Freytimar Minay LeYorish LeHoyulin Deskuk. How did Yor, the son, have all of these 23 cities and the father did not have them? Ela Malamed, it must be. Shenosis Kuv Isha. The Gemara is saying a different interpretation than we said yesterday, but let's focus on today's Gemara. Malamed Shenosis Kuv Isha. Skuv married Mrs. Skuv, and the Mrs. Skuv, her father, was very, very wealthy. Umesa b'chayim erisheha. The normal expectation would be that after Mrs. Skuv's father passes away, he would leave his Yerusha for his daughter. That was the only child of the father of Mrs. Skuv. She was an only, no siblings, no brothers, no sisters. So she's going to go and get a big, big Yerusha. And then, after the Shver, Mrs. Skuv's father passes away, Skuv would be fabulously wealthy because he would Yarshin his wife. Unfortunately, that's not what a Kodesh Baruch Hu had in mind. But rather, Umeisa b'chayim o'rishel, the Mrs. Skuv passed away before her father. So who's left in the picture now? Skuv and his Shver. So I would normally think, okay, see, he'll, when the Shver passes away a year later, 10 years later, then now Skuv will Yarshin the Shver. No. Meisa b'chayim o'risha, first she passed away, Mrs. Skuv. Umeisa Marisha, and then subsequently her father passed away. Marisha is Lushan Rabbi, because it doesn't have to be the father, it could be from the mother, could be from a grandfather, whatever. And now, who Yarshins? Skuv doesn't Yarshin, but it's Yoyer that Yarshins, the Yosha Yoyer. Why? Because Yoyer now goes and Yarshins from his grandfather, right? His mother never passed away, but he has a grandfather. Now the grandfather passed away. I might have thought that Skuv Yarshins from his Shver. No, Skuv does not. Who Yarshins? Yoyer, who is Skuv's son, who happens to be an Einikel from the grandfather, from the Shver of Skuv. So that's what it's telling us, that Ein Baal Noita Baroi Kibamuchsik. Loiman, I have the same lesson from Elazar. What was the matzvah to Elazar? Elazar ben Harnak Meis. Elazar passed away. V'yikru oisai, and they buried him in the Givois, in the Givas Pinchas Benoi. Pinchas is Giva. Remember that Brother Shai said expertly that that's referring to the hills of Pinchas. And the question is, why wasn't Elazar buried on his own property? Why was he buried on his son's property? How did Pinchas even have property that his father did not own? Malamed comes to tell you, Shenasa Elazar Isha, Elazar married a wife. And what happens now to that wife? That wife had a father. Could be that was Yisra, because remember we said Elazar married from Benois Putia Loyli Isha. Or could be this was a different wife. It doesn't really matter. But the point is, Elazar married a wife, and the normal expectation would have been that since Elazar's wife's father was a wealthy man, that eventually when Elazar's wife's father, that's the Shver of Elazar, passes away, the Yerusha would fall to his daughter. That's that daughter, that's Mrs. Elazar. And then when she subsequently passes away, Elazar would go and Yarshin from her. And that's the Yorash Oysa, that the Baal is Yorash Ishta. That would be a case of Muchsik, that first she was Muchsik in the Nechasim of her father, and now Elazar Yarshin. But Ma'asa Kodesh Baruch Hu. Unfortunately, Mrs. Elazar passed away prematurely. She predeceased her own father. Umeisa b'chayim o'risheha. And now what happens is that Elazar Nebuch is an Alman, no wife. He has a Shver who's very wealthy. And eventually that Shver passes away a year later, 20 years later, and leaves over a fortune. So I would think, oh, now Elazar's going to get that Yerusha. No! Umeisa Morisheha, when the Moirish, that is the father, the Shver, passes away years later, he, Elazar, doesn't get it. Because Ein Habal Noitel Be Ro'oi Kimemuchsik. Instead, who's going to get it? Yerusha Pinchas. Ah, so Pinchas is going to get it. And that's why Elazar eventually was buried on Pinchas' property. Frank Timur, Umayva Oimer, why do I have to have two separate pesukim to tell you the same thing, that ain't about noita broikim emachzik. Because v'chitayim v'yor, the habit nosiv itza, umeisa, and then v'yorsa. What does the Gemara mean? You interpreted the first pasuk that Skuv was the one that married Mrs. Skuv, and that Mrs. Skuv predeceased her father, and that's why Skuv didn't get that Yerusha, but rather it traveled to Yoir the Einikel. Prekimon, maybe that's not the case. Not that Skuv married Mrs. Skuv, but rather Chitemi Yoir to have a Nosev Itza, Yoir married Mrs. Yoir, Umesa, and she passed away, and therefore Yoir, the wife of Yoir, that's Mrs. Yoir, was already, if you will, empowered with Nechasim because her father had already predeceased her, like the normal course of events. So therefore, and now when Mrs. Yoir passes away, Yoir became fabulously wealthy because he yarshened his wife. And his wife had already yarshened previously from her father. So that's a muchzik case. And that's why Yoir is wealthy. It's having nothing to do with Skuv and Mrs. Skuv. Viarsa, and therefore that Yoir yarshened his wife. So it has nothing to do with our Gemara. Talmud, that's why I have a second brother, Loz ben Aharon HaKohen, Loz ben Aharon Meis, and he was buried by Givas Pinchas, and therefore, how did Pinchas become wealthy as opposed to his father, Elazar? Was the sign that Elazar was married to a wife, and then she predeceased her father, and therefore Elazar didn't receive a penny from Ishver, and rather it all went to Elazar. I'm sorry, it all went to Pinchas.
To Pinchas.
To Pinchas, exactly. Thank you, Brother Shai. So, Timara, Vachitayman, maybe you're going to go and say, maybe Elazar got, not Elazar, maybe Pinchas got the Givas Pinchas and got all these Nechasim, not because of his father, not because of his wife, not because of his Shver, Vachitayman, Denofale, Vistech HaRaman. Remember, we talked about that yesterday. That's how he became wealthy. What's the Steach HaRaman? So he said, two possibilities. A person is makdish something, but he doesn't use the word makdish. He says, I am machrim my field. What happens to such a chayim? Okay, says a machloikis with a stam charamim lebedek abayis, a stam charamim lekehanim. But if he says expressly, I am machrim this field for the kahanim, then it goes to the mishmer of the kahanim at that time. It goes to a kohen. So that's one interpretation of stei charamim. And there's another one that we also spoke about already a couple of times, when a person is maktish his field, and the gizbar says to him, do you want to be poided? And he says, no, thank you. What happens? It's sold now to an ish acher, then lo yigoyel oid, v'ho yasod b'tzeis v'yoyel kodesh Hashem kistei acherim, and it goes to the koyhanim. Oh, so therefore it has nothing to do with Yerusha. Maybe that's how Pinchas got wealthy. Not because of a grandfather, not because of his wife. Kodesh tzeim et Yerusha, al stei acherim. Says Imar Omakra, that's unlikely the Pshat, because it says in the Pshat, it says in the Pasuk, give us Pinchas Benoi. Tell me, doesn't every child know that Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aharon HaKohen, that Pinchas is the son of Elazar? It would have been enough to say Elazar ben Aharon Meis, give us Pinchas. Which Pinchas? I don't know which Pinchas. I mean, there are 100 Pinchases. There's only one Pinchas, Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aharon HaKohen. We know it's Benoi. Why does the Torah say Benoi? Since it says Benoi, it means Nachla Riyaloi, the Yarsha Benoi. That he, Elazar, had his eyes on this Yerusha, because he had a wealthy Shver, and he figured that the Shver is going to pass away, and then his wife is going to receive the Yerusha, and then eventually he's going to go and get it. No, the Pasuk says, I'm very sorry, Elazar, you didn't receive it. Pinchas Benoi received it through Yerusha from the Zaydi, because Ein habal noita baroi kimemuchsi. And this we have finished this shtickle. And we start a brand new shtickle. Yes, Brother Shai. Miz Ben Zavna, maybe he bought it. So none of these rise, neither the case of Skuv and Yoir, nor the case of Pinchas and Elazar, are 100% conclusive. Because you're right, we could have said he was an entrepreneur and he bought it, as opposed to his father, that was not in the real estate business, and he didn't buy Givas or anything else. However, the Gemara, since it concludes, it says Benoi, so that's by Masoira telling you, we know that it could have been, would have been, should have been, Stei Charamim or Mizben Zavim that he bought it, but it's logical that it was Benoi, it's talking about a Nachla that he received that the father did not receive, because it was Beroi, Eimet Baal Noit Beroi Kimamuksik, but he got it because he's Benoi. Okay, the next part of the Mishnah says, who else yarshins? Bnei Ochois. Bnei Ochois, remember we learned the Mishnah, is talking about nephews go and yarshin from their uncles, but the uncles do not yarshin from their nephews. Why is that? So the Mishnah was talking about that it was b'nei ochris, meaning that the uncle was a maternal uncle, the brother of the mother. We've already concluded that children, both a ben and a bas, yarshin from their mother. You're wondering, how do I know that a bas is yorish from the mother? Says, how do I know that the son goes in yarshin? Sigmar says, a kal v'chaymer. Marach, the daughter, who has a groin koyach by a father, and the son has a yipu koyach, he yarshins by the father, he certainly yarshins by the mother. Okay, so now we have a situation, the children of a mother yarshin, if she had a brother, an uncle, then the uncle, and there was no other brothers or sisters and no children, then the uncle's nechasim would go to his sister, that's their mother, they would yarshin from the sister, and so therefore, as a derivative of their mother, they yarshin from the uncle. So that's what it said in the Mishnah. Now it says, uvenei, tana b'nei achais v'loi b'nois achais. The Braisa says, only the banim. Of course, the word b'nei could have been understood as both sons and daughters, meaning sons first, and if there are no sons, then daughters. However, since it says b'nei, the Braisa says b'nei achais v'loi b'nois achais. When I was learning with my son Ben Zion last night, he reminded me of a story of many, many years ago. It's a bit of a joke, and it's not such a nice joke, but there was a person in Beis Medrash many, many years ago on the West Side, and he was not known as one of the world's greatest goyim. So one person in shul one day asked him, can you explain to me how come in benching we say uvenei Yerushalayim ir HaKodesh? Why are we talking about the boys of Yerushalayim? Why don't we talk about the bonois? After all, Bas Tzion and the Yerushalayim and Tzion is referred to as Shoshana and all the rest. Shouldn't we talk about the Benois Yerushalayim? Only B'nai Yerushalayim. Good question. Anyway, he came back afterwards, Mincha time, to Shul on Shabbos, and he says, oi, you're trying to make jokes, you're trying to make chozik of me. The B'nai over here doesn't mean sons, it means to build Yerushalayim, B'nai Yerushalayim. Okay, anyway, that was a story of a person, unfortunately, who was not a great Talmud Chacham. But of course, our Gemara knows that the word B'nai means the sons, so the Braisa says sons and not daughters. Ah, so daughters don't yarshin from an uncle. Zokti Gemara, Lamai, what is this Braisa talking Lamai Hilchasa? Rav Sheishis Lekadeh. Lekadeh means that the boys go first. If there are nephews and an uncle passes away, they yarshin. If when the uncle passes away, there are no nephews, there are only nieces, the nieces get it. And it's no different than all the other Hilchos Nachla that we keep on saying. What does it say in the Pasuk? So the Bonim get priority. There are no sons, it goes to the daughters. Here too, no nephews, it goes to the nieces. The question is, what's the Mokar? The Pasuk got to be a regular Yerush of a father that I understand. It says, if the Ish Kiyomus Vein Ein Lo, he has no sons, then give it to the daughter. And it says, Befeish in the Torah. Banim go first, no Banim, go to the Banim. But where does that say, Legabe, uncles and nephews and nieces? Maybe nephews and nieces, they all yarshin together. Everything more, Tony Rav Shmuel, Barab Yitzchak, Kamid Rav Huna. It says in the Pasuk, the Yorash Oisa. Now where is this V Yorash Oisa? We've had this countless times already in the Gemara. This is the among the final psukim, or maybe the last pasuk in the parsha of Nachlois, where it says, "V'im ein achim li'ovad esatzu nachlos l'sheir akarav elov mi'mishpachta v'yorash oisa." Now notice it says v'yorash with a vav. Says Reshbam, since it says vav, we are makish all of the prior yerushos which are enumerated in the Torah. The first yerusha about yerusha from a father that the ben goes before the av, and then if there are no sons, it goes to the daughters. If there are no daughters, it goes to the brothers. If there are no brothers, it goes to the uncles, etc. We left out father, which you should sandwich in between daughters and between brothers. But in each case, since the pasuk ends off the yoresh with avav, the vav is makish all of them, and therefore makish yerusha shnia yerusha rishayin. My yerusha rishayin means the very first nachla that we bring in the Torah, if a father passes away, it goes to sons first. And if there are no sons, then it goes to the daughter. Ben Kodel Abbas, Af Yerusha Shnia. When we say Yerusha Shnia, says Rishbam, V'hu Adin La'asiris. We're lav dafka talking about the second in line. Second line would be after the son, and the daughter would be the father. After the father, it would be the achim. What happens to no achim? Then give it to achoyois. If there are no uncles, give it to you. That's things like that. Anyway, the point of all of this is, says the Gemara, that all the Yerushais, banim, come before banis. It's af Yerusha Shnia, ben kodem labas, and that's the same thing over here, that you had an uncle passing away. If there were nephews left, the nephews get first. If there are no nephews, then it goes to the nieces. Okay. Now we have a very simple halacha, put two dots, brand new. Zoki mora tani rabba bar chanina kamei rabbi yoichan, kamei rabbi nachman. Voi bia manchiloi es bonov, biyoim hanchiloi es bonov. Biyoim atamapal nachloi, biyatamapal nachloi es ba'al loyla. This is what rabba bar chanina repeated before Rav Nachman, that the din of nachla only applies during the day, and it does not apply balayla during the night. So Omele Abaye, Abaye said to Rabba Bar Chanina, Ela meyata de shocha b'yamama, hu di yarsi leibonei, man de shocha b'layla le yarsi leibonei. Are you telling me that the whole parasha of Nachlois is a day parasha, that when anyone passes away during the day, oh, then you take out the chumash, and you look up the list, who gets first, who gets last, who gets second, third, fourth, etc. Only if they pass away during the day. If they pass away at night, then all the hilchois, intestacy written in the Torah don't apply because it's only B.I. and therefore find out if there's a last will and testament. If there's no last will and testament, I don't know, maybe all the property is hefker, chmeisnish, or maybe just everybody takes from the family at random, or eeny, meeny, miny, mo, just choose it out. Is that what you're telling me, Rabbi Bar Chanina, that hilchos nachleis only apply if a person passes away during the day? A person who passed away daytime, his bonim get a Yerusha. Man deshoch b'layla, whoever passed away at night, liyarsili bonay. Zok t'yamora dilmas Abaye answers his own kasha, and he says to Rabbi Bar Chanina, dilma din nachlis ka'amris. Oh, maybe you're talking about din toiris to decide nachlis. In other words, a person passed away, and there is, you go to, even today, lahavli, you go to surrogate's court, and you have to probate the estate. Not that there is any machloikis, but just it has to be under the jurisdiction of a court to make sure that everything is done properly, and all debts are paid, and that the estate is divided up the way it's supposed to be, and so on and so forth. So maybe din nachlis kamris, maybe you mean that a bezdin only meets during the day to handle hilchas nachlis. Don't start a court proceeding at night, at 9 o'clock in the evening, after a bein tamzman. You have to start in the morning. And by the way, if the proceedings go on the whole day and it continues into the night, that's not a problem. But the beginning of the proceedings has to be during the day. Is that what you mean? Desanya, because I have a price on point. This pasuk again is in pasuk Aleph, the Torah Ora Shalem, in the parish of Nachlois, after enumerates all of the various Nachlois. It says, Im ein achem li'oviv, etc., etc. V'hoisel na'yisol l'chukas mishpat. What does this have to do with mishpat? With justice and this and the like. Oh, so timor, ura kol parish kulu li'oiz din. By putting the word chukas mishpat, it means that it is subject to the jurisdiction of the court. And one of the rules of the court proceedings is that all court proceedings start during the day and not at night. How do I know that court proceedings start during the day? Says Rishbam, because there's a pasuk in Yermia, Beis Dovid, Dinoi Laboiker Mishpat. A mishpat begins during the day. And says Rishbam, this is not only a din in Nachlois. This is a din generally in all Hilchois, Mekach Umemker, Masa Umatam. Anytime you want to go and have a court proceeding related to money or to nechosim, it's got to be done during the day, not at night. The whole parsha of Nachlois is now converted, if you will, into a parsha like a din Torah. Shloish shenichlas ulavakiras achoyla. What happens if you have Rachman Litzlan a shchiv mera who is on his deathbed and he only has a day or two or three still, and three people come to mevakir choyla to go and visit him and give him a refuah? What happens when the three are there? If the choyla says, you know what, I'm so happy you're here because I want to go and tell you what should happen to my estate after I pass away. So says Rav Yehuda, if three came, Ratzu Koisvin, if they want, they can act like Edom and take notes and write it down and say, this is the last will and testament of Yankel Smith. He wants to go and give kach v'kach to this one, to that one, this one and that one, etc. That if they want to. Ratzu Oisindin, or if they want, they don't have to be Edom witnesses that are putting down their testimony in writing. They can be Dayanim, because after all, you have three. So they can already adjudicate on the spot, act like a Bez. What does it mean they're going to act like a Bez? It doesn't mean that we're going to say, okay, Rabbi Yisai, this is the court proceedings. It just means that if and when Yankel Smith passes away, a day later, a week later, whenever he passes away, then the three Dayanim do not have to go and have Kabbalist Edus, because they themselves heard what was going on, says Rishbam. If they themselves heard it, they don't have to say, like in a regular court proceeding, are there any Edom? They themselves know the Edus, and therefore they can decide, based on the fact that they were there during the Bikr Choylem, and they heard, so Oisindin. However, if only two came to Mavak Choylem, Shnayim Koisim Lein Oisindin, because there are only two, they're not the Yonah. So that's what Rav Yehuda says. The Yom Rav Chizda, now Rav Chizda added to Rav Yehuda, Loishanu, that Rav Yehuda said that three could be Oisindin, Loishanu El Abiyayim. If they visited during the day, because if they visit during the day, they have a Torah's Bezdin that could go and initiate a court proceeding now during the day. We're not suggesting initiating proceedings now, but they could have if they would have wanted to, because they're a Bezdin. So even if they only hold the Din Torah, they adjudicate a week later, a month later, that's fine. The point is that when they came into Mevakir Choylem was during the day, there were three Oisindin. Avu Balayla, if the three came to visit, they came in after Ma'ariv to Mevakir Choylem, it's very nice that they did that. Avu Balayla, Filish Loisha Koisindin Oisindin, why can they not go and be a Bezdin? My time, the Havlu Eidin. They cannot be a Bezdin because Bezdin cannot adjudicate and officiate at night, so all they are is three Edom. Since they're Edom, they ain't Ed, Nasadayim. So subsequently, when this in fact does become a court proceeding, we will not allow them to be the Dayanim of the Din Torah, but rather they'll be Edom who can testify in front of another Bezdin of three, and they'll say, we were there, and this is what the Yankel Smith told us, and this is what we wrote down at the time. These are our notes, and this is the Ganze Shtar, and so on and so forth. So therefore, Abaye is saying now to Rabba Bar Chanina, when you said, isn't this what you were referring to? Not that a person passed away during the day or during the night, but rather you were referring to that the Din Torah takes place during the day and not during the night. On Malay, so Rabba Bar Chanina, what was his name? Rabba Bar Chanina said, Abai, you're 100% right. Hochinami Komin, that's exactly what I meant, that Din Torah involving Yerushois, just like Din Torah involving any other Mechachomemker, any other Dini Mominis, have to begin during the day and not during the night. And that's the conclusion of the Shtikl. Okay, Rabbi Yisai?
Similar to the